how it changed through the years.
The boat, poling boat.
Yeah.
And cows didn't have no mowers. They had to pull them up or somebody pull them.
About what time did breakup come?
May, they're in bells. Uh-huh. And it always jams up. Middle of the night, we have to get up and get going. Get out of our places sometimes for the water in it. We all go up to the big store and then bed down there. Stay there till the water recedes.
Two stories?
Yeah, it had two stories. Uh-huh. Great big store.
Uh-huh. Who had built the store?
It was up when I don't know who built it. Uh-huh. It was NC Company. Uh-huh. And we stay there till the water recedes and then go home and shovel all the muck out.
And then they'd get the boats out.
Yeah, boats are around. They have the boat. Pole them.
It was easy to go downstream, but what about going upstream?
Oh, if you have dogs, then you make the dogs pull. But the guy have to be out there with the dogs, you know, walk along the edge of the water, pull the boat.
What
somebody steer on the boat.
What about horses?
Horses, same way.
Were there horses in Wiseman when you were a little girl?
Yes.
And horses in Bettles?
Yes.
What kind of horses did they have?
There were great big horses with thick legs. Real heavy, old, slow-moving horses. They were big, great big.
How many did they use on a boat?
Sometimes about four. What I understand, they get up further up near Wiseman. They cross on a bar, on a riffle, and then go on a bar, and then go on up, cross another riffle, and go on a bar, and keep on going that way. They make better time that way.
How long did it take to go for a scow?
Oh, about 10 days or more. To have problem, they're longer. It's only 53 miles. I think.
How many hours a day did they?
They start right 8 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Stop in the evening.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time they leave Wiseman, they float down, keep right on coming down until they make it in.
Mm-hmm.
If it takes the whole night.
Tell us about the dog team.
Oh, I had 5 dogs. And first thing you do is, in the following years, cut their toenails off. They have kind of long toenails. And if you work them with long toenails, their feet get sore. And you've got to cut the hair right off from the bottom of their feet, right next to the skin. And then harness them up and start working them.
If you didn't cut the toenails, what would happen?
They get sore feet. The nail, you know, that they're get swollen. And they're limping. You can tell right away. They won't pull either. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing you do, and then start hardening them in. Go out every day with them. Get better. I use my dog to go up to the big lake. It takes me about a day and a half to get up there. And I stay there about 2 to 3 weeks fishing for a trout. Then I come home. And then I use, rest of the winter I use my 5 dogs for trapping.
You gave the dogs a
lot of fish. I could run them about 20 miles a day.
Boy. Did you give them the fish? They lived on fish mainly in the winter?
I generally feed them rabbit, rolled oats, and tallow. not tallow.
About how much did one dog, a normal dog, eat?
We use these, is it 2 pound butter can? I use about 2 butter canfuls. Be about this big around. Mm-hmm. You remember those old butter cans? Mm-hmm, that's what I use. Two. Bigger dog, 2 and a half.
You cook this food?
Yeah, I cook the food. I don't put the grease in it. I melt it out and pour it on. Pour it on the food, the tallow.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Where did you get the tallow?
Buy it from the store, 50-pound can.
What was the tallow made out of?
Tallow is made out of beef tallow.
Just fat?
Yeah, just hard. It's rendered out.
Mm-hmm.
Really rendered out.
Mm-hmm.
You pour each one. You have to do it. You have to keep them up. They work hard.
Did they each have their own house?
Yeah, they each have their own box houses and a lot of hay in it. And mine is built off about 3 feet, 2.5 feet up from the ground, and they have shelter underneath for the summer, and in wintertime they are up in their boxes. Off the ground.
Mm-hmm. How long would the chain be?
Hmm?
How long?
Chain is, how long is that chain? What you got?
9 feet or so.
Mine is about 5, I think.
Oh.
5. Heavy chain, real heavy chain. I couldn't put his chain on mine.
Uh-huh.
Nap it right off.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Then,
where did you get your dogs?
Mm-hmm. I had a female, and she's through good pups,
mm-hmm.
Very good pups.
Were these what you call Malamutes?
No, I had 2 dogs, and they had quite a bit of St. Bernard in them,
oh. But
well-trimmed.
Uh-huh.
Their legs were long, and they're well-trimmed. They're very good dogs. I can tie them together. Eat together, never a growl.
Big dog.
Oh, great. They're made like a puppy. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Smoky like a puppy. They're huge.
What was the average working life of one of these dogs?
I had my 3 dogs, and they're 14 years old.
They worked?
And they made 30 miles in 3 hours. And going over a big summit, mountain. In 3 hours, they're 14 years old. I timed myself when I left.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Yeah, for 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm. That's a good age.
Yeah. It just depends on how you take care of your dogs, how they age. You know, if you let them starve and not take care of them, they won't be in good. And you could see for yourself they made it good because they were kept up for 3 hours, 14-year-old, 3 dogs.
What kind of leaders, how did you train a leader, and what did you look for in a leader?
He's quick to respond to you. You don't have to shout at him, just talk real low to him. I had a female, she had a lot of wolf in them, very shy, quick to jump, and she's quick to respond. I don't have to talk to her if I want her to take out on a fast run. I just hit the sleigh with, and she hear that and away she goes. On a dead run, she'll run for miles. Stop her.
What kind of commands did you use?
Her name was Lippy, and if I want her, you know, I holler Lippy. And sometimes much, not too much.
Lippy?
Lippy. That's the old A man gave her this old name, Nippy.
What did she look like?
Oh, she was great. Beautiful.
Was she husky?
No, she had a lot of wolf in her. A lot of wolf in her. But she was just more one person dog than she would, you know, everybody's dog. Mm-hmm. No, no. And she's quick to defend her puppies. And then right after that, bite you.
Was she half wolf, do you think?
No, she wasn't half wolf, but she had a lot of, maybe one third and fourth. Mm-hmm. And it showed more in her there than the rest, you know. And on the lake, there was my son Ben and Florence was with me. We had a long sled and six dogs. She was in lead. And we're going on this road a guy made the day before. And I seen the water start bubbling up and the ice sagging, you know. And it's sometimes you can't say anything. I couldn't yell at her. So I grabbed my fishbone and I hit real fast on the sled and she took off just like that. And the dogs with her and they pulled us out. Otherwise we'd have floundered in that water.
Lippy saved your life.
Lippy saved my life. Me. Me of all people, you know, I hit that cold water, I don't think I'd laugh. And she made it to the shore, the lake of the shore, and I went up. I held her for half an hour. I was that tickled. Hold her, talk with her, petted her.
What did you find that the wolf blood did to make them good dogs? What was it about the wolf?
The wolf part in them, they respond real fast.
They're smart.
They're smart. Uh-huh. Real fast and quick. Uh-huh. They don't hesitate a moment. The minute you do something, they take it right up. Sometimes you have to step on the brake and other lead dog not fit so good and then keep hollering ha or gee or keep yelling at them till it gets over there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't know which way they're jumping, but they don't know which way they're supposed to go.
Did the timber wolves or the wolves come in to town and mate with the females sometimes?
No, not that I know.
How did they get this wolf blood?
I guess the people, they don't say too much. They go out and leave maybe a female dog out. I don't know.
But the wolf would never kill a female.
Mm-mm. No. Wolf stories they tell is they make a wolf so fierce. But this Arctic Johnny told me a wolf story. He was out after, there's a 40 in the pack. And he shot one and wounded him. Very bad. Now, rest of the wolves broke trail for him, and all he did was go along behind them. They kill a caribou. They bring a chuck in for him to eat. Now, he followed this wolf for a week. Each day he had gained his strength, you know, was gaining his strength back.
So the other wolves were taking
Other
care.
Wolves would come, and they feed him. And lick him. They just all get around and lick him. Lick and lick and lick. Mm. Now, other people say they smell blood. Well, you know, they tear up everything, but it isn't so. Not, there were 40 in that pack. Mm-hmm. Mm.
It was like a family or a village almost.
Yeah, they go right up and they work with us. And they broke trail for him. He didn't have to walk through a deep snow. He didn't have to go and get his own food. They brought it to him. Arctic Johnny watched him for a week. He's trying to catch up and never did catch up. He never caught up with that wolf.
They're hard to catch, aren't they?
Well, they kept feeding him, and he gained his strength. He couldn't catch up. But he could see them through the glass, what they're doing with him.
Did you ever know of a wolf to attack a human being?
Yeah, maybe they have rabies. I want to see, maybe they have rabies. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever know of any cases of rabies up there?
Yeah, I'm sure we had rabies.
Mm-hmm. Rabbits get them?
Fox came in. Fox came into our village, a white fox. And we sure it had rabies. Dog killed it.
Did the dogs get rabies then?
No.
Did the foxes ever breed with dogs?
No.
They don't?
No.
Only the wolves?
The wolves, yeah.
But you never knew of wolves to stalk a human being?
I don't know. I was chased off the lake one night.
By wolves?
I guess they were wolves. My dogs was barking so hard.
Did you ever know wolves to come in and kill any of the dogs in town?
We've seen a wolf come through town,
mm-hmm,
and jumped one dog, but they were after it, you know. They never did get him either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he was doing.
Was it difficult to trap a wolf?
No. I've trapped a good many of them.
Have you?
Yes. Trapped a good many of them.
What kind of trap did you use?
It's number 8. Big trap. It's got double springs.
What did you use for bait?
Some I don't use bait at all. Some I use bait. Pieces of little chunks of meat.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, getting back to the dog team's tissue, was 5 the average dog team?
Yeah. You want to get around fast, you know, like I did.
But still, it's a lot of work to keep a dog team, so.
Yeah.
If you had 10 dogs, that'd be a awful job.
Yeah.
If you traveled by dog team from Wiseman to Bettles by trail, how long did it take?
It took me 2 days, 3 days.
2 to 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a good trail?
No, it took 1 day if we go right along.
Mm-hmm. How many miles?
53 miles. Mm-hmm.
Was there a roadhouse along the way?
Yeah, there's Roy King's, about 18 miles from Bettles.
Oh, almost half,
Yeah, 18 miles.
Had that been there a long time?
Yeah, that been there a long time, Roy King. And they were raising a silver fox there. Mm. Then you get to Colfoot, there's the roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then widen.
So you'd rest a little at each place?
Mm-hmm. Overnight.
Uh-huh.
Barn, you have to cook your own. There's nobody there, just a relief house.
Uh-huh. You'd carry your own dog food?
Yes, carry your own dog food and your own food and everything, your own bed.
And the dogs, they didn't need water. They just ate snow.
Yeah, they ate snow. No, we never... We try to keep out of overflows and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
It takes us a little time, we break trail around the overflow and pull them through. We never get the dogs wet.
Well, this was traveling on the top of the river.
Hmm?
You traveled on the river.
No, over the next to the mountains there. Not, we leave the river. It used to be years ago, I think, a river. But left that way back towards the hills there.
You took a shortcut?
Mm-hmm.
Across the hills?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It was longer by river?
Mm-hmm. Too long.
Is that trail still there?
Yes. I think you can see it. here and there.
From the air?
Uh-huh.
How would you like to go over the old trail?
I know where to go. I really have to tell me. I tell him you go right through there. Yeah.
This Roy King who raised foxes, did he have quite an establishment there?
Yes, he had a nice big place, big log place. Bunks right in one room.
Uh-huh. Did his wife cook for
him? No, he's a bachelor.
Uh-huh.
He's a bachelor, him and his brother, Ernie King. They raised foxes.
Uh-huh.
Talk about long snare line. They get rabbits for them,
uh-huh.
For the foxes.
They made quite a paying business of it then.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Old Roy King, used to bring in fox skins and like to carry them around, show them to people through the village. They were expensive at that time.
It was kind of a lonely life, though, for him.
No, I don't think so. Only in summertime. Uh-huh. Wintertime, there are people traveling constantly, and I don't think he was very lonely. He had four bird dogs, real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And he run the snare line, kept him busy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people come and he have to cook for me, he's a good cook.
Mm-hmm. What did he serve?
Meat.
Rabbit stew?
No, meat. Moose meat.
Mm-hmm.
And vegetables. Good bread.
Mm-hmm.
They always have some kind of a pie made out of dried fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And pie.
Yeah. What year did he leave there, do you know?
He left in 1929, I think.
He was there for a long time.
Yeah, he was there for a long time, him and his brother. Huh. Quite a place.
Uh-huh. That's real interesting. Well, then, the next step was about in 1925, was it, when
uh-huh.
the first airplane came in?
Yeah, this plane was coming in with the harbor workmen and Mrs. Wheeler. And my husband told me to go around and tell the people the plane was coming. And they had left. And 4 hours went by and hadn't shown up yet.
Was this coming from Fairbanks?
Yeah.
Who was the pilot?
An old wing.
Huh? What kind of an airplane?
Jenny.
A Jenny.
And we all got together outside the door there and looking down the valley. And all of a sudden, Martin Slisko jumped. He said, I see it. And we couldn't see it. We looked. It was just like a little bit of a fly down there. And finding it. Then we start, walking around looking. And finally it got overhead. And looking at it, we never looked where we were walking, and I got knocked down 3 times. Then we got up where it's supposed to land on the bar. And this old Eskimo old lady, she got scared and crawled in a corner there of a lean-to. And she was all huddled up. And we went in to talk with her. She was just shaken from head to foot. She was really shaken. We were afraid she was going to have a heart attack. She was crying even. Leaning right up against like this. Oh, it landed.
Where did it land, by the way?
Right in front of the roadhouse.
On the river?
On the bar.
On a river bar.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and it was actually clear of debris and snow?
No, there's snow there. Oh. Little snow.
I see. It was on skis.
Wheels.
Wheels?
Uh-huh.
And it didn't get stuck?
Uh-uh. Anyway, we ran down the gulch. Look at this. We got into the slough, had water backed up. It's breaking up. Water backed up about, it was up to here, up to my knees. And the marshal stepped in the water and he had little shoes. When he jumped in, we all jumped in. And Jimmy Tobuk and I were the first ones to get to the place. And these passengers, we knew one of the passengers, Harper Workman, and he had a very bum leg, and we had to help him out of the ship.
That was the first time you ever saw an airplane?
The first time. And this Mrs. Wheeler had long hair, and it was streaming out. Had been streaming in the wind, I guess.
Well, it was outside.
Yeah, it's open. Wide open.
What month of the year was this, in May?
In May. That first part of May.
Uh-huh.
First part of May or somewhere in there. That a part of April, maybe. Anyway, we waited till noon to leave for the roadhouse to eat, and then we looked the plane over from bottom to top.
That was the first time that an airplane had crossed the Arctic Circle, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, first time. First time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was your first impression when you saw Noel? He must have been a big hero to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Right away, quick, I think they took him over to the Pioneer and made him honorary.
Honorary member.
Yeah, honorary member right now.
Uh-huh. How long did he stay there?
He had dinner, visit with people, and finally left.
And the whole town went down to see him all?
Yeah. Hammond and all of Nolan was down. Everybody was down.
How did they get the word?
We got them over the phone. We have a phone.
Clear to Hammond River?
Yeah, Hammond River and Nolan. It's run by Badwick.
Uh-huh.
And call them early in the morning. Plane was coming. There was no radios there. Plane was coming. Harper Workman is one of us.
Yeah. Oh, what an experience. Tell us about your first airplane ride.
That's from the same summer. It was a Jenny 2 open. I rode from Bells to Wiseman with Mary.
Pilot was?
Joe Crossan.
From Bettles to
Wiser. Yeah.
Were you scared?
Yeah, the wind was quite strong.
Uh-huh.
You have to kind of get down low, look around a little bit, wear your pine. Quite a trip. Slow, but it's fast for us at that time.
What did your mother think of it?
Great.
Did she like it?
Mm-hmm.
That was a change for her.
Yeah, she liked it too. Only thing she said when she first got on there, she was so scared that if you keep on being tense the way she was, she couldn't last very long, she said to me.
Uh-huh.
She finally tried to relax and go with the, you know, up and down.
Uh-huh.
Oh, she said she was scared.
After that, there were airplanes coming and going
yeah.
very often.
Uh-huh. They generally traveled at night when there's no wind.
Were there any accidents up there?
Not very many.
Uh-huh.
Not very many.
And when did they build the airport, the airstrip?
That summer, when 24? 24? They build it with the men folks and
Okay, could you tell us about the early flying days in Alaska?
I told you about no. Huh? It's the first trip I made from Berns to Wiseman. And the plane landed on the bar. But a couple days before that, went over and picked up heavy rocks, put them to one side. Those days, they would land on bars mostly. There was no airstrip. You have to clean it all up.
Who is the pilot?
Joe Crossan.
And he carried you from Bethels to Wiseman?
Wiseman in a Jenny.
And what month and year?
It was in July.
Of
1929. Uh-huh. And I had my little daughter with me, Mary, and we had to sit down, you know, kind of low. It's an open thing. You can't try to look out and it wouldn't hit you. I wanted to look so bad. I had quite a time.
What did the airfare from Bettles to Wiseman, mm-hmm. What was it in those days? How much did it cost to fly?
I forgot how much that cost there. I forgot. But we had an airstrip. That I'll take it back. We had an airstrip in Dwyden. The airstrip, like postage stamp. We landed there. But from Bell's, we had to take off from the bar. Mm-hmm. Landed on the bar. That's old Bell's, not the new Bell's. Right on the other side.
Later they built Bettles Field.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It was a nice day. It was a real sunny day that we had gone up. It was a good thing because I don't think we kept dry in that.
Who were the early pilots who flew into Wiseman?
Early pilots were Noel Ween, Bennett? Mm-hmm. And Joe Crossan, Ed Young, Morris King, yeah, and Herman Joslin,
Frank Pollock,
Herman Joslin, must be his name.
Did any of them ever crack up on the field there?
Lon Brennan did. Yeah, Lon Brennan did in that field back there. I don't know what happened. Made a quick. I guess some of the wheels or something locked on it. We don't understand. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he often wondered, he told us, he often wondered all that, stuff behind you ever land on your neck. Mm-hmm. He often wondered about it, and he got it this day. Florence and Henry Hope pulled him out of the ship. Mm-hmm. They got ahead there.
Was he hurt?
Yeah, he was hurt. He had a big bump right here, like the size of an egg. They pulled him out and let him go, and he weaved around, you know. We couldn't get to him. We're still running. I told Franz to run just as hard as she could go and drag whoever it is down there out of there. So Henry was right with her.
Year was that?
It was in the 30s. Uh-huh. It was in the 30s. Anyway, they yanked him out of there and they just let him loose, and I could see him going. put in the fire. Finally, he sat down. Mm-hmm. He said, he told us that the way that they yanked him out of there, he felt like it was a feather, you know. He went out so fast. Henry was larger than Flirt. Uh-huh. Flirt was strong, too. Mm-hmm. Yanked him out. And then we seen another right in front of our eyes. It's a Navy plane flipped over. And we had to go and get those boys out of there. Uh-huh. And one, by the time we got there, he came too, but the other one was out, still out hanging on his belt. Mm-hmm. He got him and tied in there, and he says, hurry up. And he said, kick the door in. Everybody kicked on it, Joe and I and Benny, all three of us kicked on it. And we got the door, some way flew off. And we reached in there and we dragged him out. And we hauled him way off. He told us, the pilot told us to get him way, way off, fast as possible.
For fear of the fire?
Yeah. Yeah, the gas was running right out of it, and he told us, he didn't tell us at the time it had big shells in there, great big shells. We know nothing about it. Mm. We grabbed this guy it's a mechanic, I think. We took him way off.
But they never went off.
It never went off. It didn't catch fire. Oh. The pilot staggered behind us. Uh-huh. The pilot. Mm. We seen that before.
What were they landing up there for, I wonder?
Gas. I don't know what they were landing for. Nobody knew. No Navy planes or anything like that. During the war, we never asked questions and nothing.
Oh, that was
they're
great.
Coming and going. Mm-hmm. Mm. If they need help, we get in and help them. But otherwise, we kept still.
Tish, tell about your Christmas Eve. The one
we
with
left
McIntyre flying up to
we
Weisman.
Left there. It was in the 50s.
You don't remember about what year?
No, I don't quite remember. It might be in the book out there. Mm. Anyway, left the 24th of December for Weisman. And we further we went in, we come to a fog, and we flew over it. And he said we were over Wiseman, but we couldn't get down. And he said, let's try going up that way and get underneath the fog. And we went up, got underneath the fog at Goquit, and we started down the river. There's a long stretch there without any turns in the river, just a long stretch, came down, and as we come to this end, it pinched right down to the ground, and I told him it's very crooked right in there, and there's a trolley. So he sat down. I looked on my side of the river.
What was a trolley?
Hmm?
A bridge across the river?
No, it's a cable, and you pull with a rope, and you take yourself across. It's got a cage on there. It runs by a pulley. That's what they call a trolley. And I looked on my side, the window looked out, and there was an open water. We were only about 5 feet from it, and deep. Open water.
It was open water in the
yeah, we stopped. It was really deep.
What was the temperature?
Hmm?
What was the temperature?
It was quite warm. It was, warm. But we started walking down the river, and he said, it started clearing up. He says, we might make it through. So we went back up and it pinched right down again. I told him that I wanted to go home and get the dog and bring tent and stove and stuff like that, sleeping bag, and he wouldn't let me go. And then he wanted to make fire alongside the plane, and I told him, no, we couldn't keep it going. We have to get up on top. I said, now that you had asked me to stay, you have to let me go make camp quickly because we have no dry wood. And I went up on top of the bank, made a fire. Then we took sleeping bag and put it around, what do you call that, cowling? Mm-hmm. And my coat, wrapped it around to keep it from freezing. And I have to run that airplane every hour, all through the night. Run it a little bit so it won't freeze. So we had our supper. I don't quite remember what we had now. It's all my food. He went to open a can of rations and I figured they were old. And so we ate. I was the first one to lie down for a little bit, about 15 minutes.
At this point,
by the campfire.
How many miles were you actually from Wise?
About 4 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
But it was deep snow.
Yeah. But so deep.
No,
I walked right through it. He walked behind me. But we turned. If we just went a little more further, maybe we'd get to the road, you know, where the dog team road.
Uh-huh.
But he wanted to go back. So we cut wood all night. Midnight cleared up. It was 40 below. We took turns about sleeping a little bit by the fire.
You were sitting up sleeping?
Huh? Hi. No, lay down. I had bought my husband's stuff to lay on, new clothing that I had bought for him. Paper and everything really on it, right alongside the fire, lay on it. And one would watch over so the spark,
mm-hmm.
spark, watch the spark, your clothing don't catch fire.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's what we went through all night.
It was a long night.
I was told Alaska nights were really long, but I never realized how long they were till that night. Believe me, I thought it'd never get daylight.
Well, what happened to the axe now?
Oh, at midnight, it was Dick's turn to chop wood, and he came back while me, and I asked him what happened. He says, I lost the axe. I told him to go back and look for it and think hard which way it went when he pulled back or chopped. And he came back with it and put it down. I was happy. I told him we had to leave. If he didn't find that axe, I'd look, and if I don't find it, then we'd have to start walking.
Mm-hmm. Did he know where you were?
I don't know. I didn't press him on that. I knew where I was, but he won't let me go. He won't let me.
You felt earlier in the evening you could have made it all right.
Yeah, make it. And if he didn't find that axe, we'd had to go.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to sit there in that 40 below weather.
Freeze and no.
Yeah. We have to start walking and walk real fast.
What did you do now? You had eggs in the...
Yeah, I had a case and a half of eggs and a case of apples. All the top was frozen. And I started to cook breakfast there and the eggs came flopped on in the fine pan. Yeah. And he said, what's wrong with that? I said, they're frozen. I says, I hope they cooked that all right.
What time did you get into Wiseman in the morning?
About 8, just at daybreak.
Did you actually fly in?
Hmm?
You flew in. The weather cleared.
Weather cleared, and I told him, well, let's go down and I see the twilight showing up, and I told him, let's go down and take stuff out that not perishable so we can take off light. Like, you know, take all the perishables in.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him to fly right over there. There's a ridge there. Fly right over it, right straight down. And he went alone, left me there by the campfire. And then I heard the drone coming back.
How long was he gone?
Not too long, not very long now. And he said, I have to make another trip. Can you sit by the fire? And I said, it's going well. I said, you could go ahead and make another trip if you want to. He was teasing me. I didn't know it. He says, come on, get in the plane.
Oh, what did that?
That warm ship was real something.
Oh, I bet you got cold out there.
Yeah, it was getting pretty cold.
You were smart to travel with warm clothes.
Mm-hmm. I had fur puppy.
Yeah, when you flew around, you dressed
warm. I don't look very well, but I dress warm, I'm afraid. And it was a good thing. If I had nylons, I wouldn't last 5 minutes in that.
What did they say, the folks in Wiseman say, when you came in?
They were so odd, they couldn't say anything. But when I got there, I opened up the case of apples. They were frozen anyway. Everybody started chewing apples.
Half-frozen
apples.
Christmas Day.
Yeah, Christmas Day.
I bet they'd had a worried night.
Yeah, my husband called all over and nobody heard anything but right there. Meet it right there. And went that way. See, I don't know what the echo was. We went right square over it and she said way over there. What she heard was we're going off up that way, I guess. And then the old Eskimos, they heard a plane going that way. It was
in that still air you could hear for miles.
Yeah. And it was a night I'll never forget. Never forget, it's a lonely night, you're afraid.
How did you get that fire going with green wood?
Huh?
With all that green wood?
Just cut, start it up with the little dry twigs you find around, you know, a little bit, not too much, and then start throwing. You never cut the branches off, just chop the green wood and just throw it in. And pile it up, and it keep burning, it dry itself out. And keep a big bonfire like that.
There was quite an art to getting a fire going and that stuff, though.
Yeah, when you do that, making a cap out like that, you just take the snow away right to the ground, not leaving the snow there at all.
Mm-hmm.
And get spruce boughs lay alongside the fire. So person lay down, rest a few minutes. One side of you is burning up and the other side of you is freezing.
So you just keep turning.
Yeah, and not turn you wake up about that time. Have to get up.
Oh, but McIntyre never forgot that either.
No, I'm sure. By midnight he was weaving.
Just tired.
Tired? I don't know what's wrong.
Worried?
No, it's just being cold again in that weather, abruptly changing into that. See, I'm sort of used to it.
Uh-huh. I guess they call it hypothermia?
Yeah. Call it something.
Oh, Tish, you tell us about that, some of the radio stories that Joe, like Sam White being on the Tanana River?
I listen on the radio when I'm home working, and all these pilots are going off different directions, keep tab on them. And it was spring. And it was ready to break up, ready to break up. And I heard Sam White, he landed between Nina and Fairbanks on the bar. Everything okay, but he ran out of gas. And that was his last call. If anybody here to report him in. And I went over to Joe and told him about it. Next day we had a fast telegram saying where he was, asked where he was. Really, where it came down. I never know the country. All I could tell is between Neenan and Fairbanks. Down that river somewhere. On that fire. He's okay. But he's out of gas. And repeat what he said. So, when he no landed, then Sam asked, how did you find me so quick? He says, we heard from Wiseman. Oh, he said that, Mrs. Euland, you don't have to put that in.
was this Noel who picked Sam?
Uh-huh. Noel is the one that went out after him.
Oh, that's cute. Now, what about that call of Jocelyn in the Livengood area?
Oh, later on, when Frank Pollock plane came in, Pollock with Herman Jocelyn, it took off. There was a call from Livengood calling that plane there to land at Livengood. There was a guy. Got a thumb cut off or something. I had to get into Fairbanks. So I went back to Joe and Joe called the plane and he happened to hear him and he told him to stop there, Livengood, to pick this guy up. Had a thumb taken off or something somehow. Maybe Woodsaw, maybe. And just a little while after that, I heard another emergency call from that hot springs up there.
Circle Hot Springs.
A guy had a heart attack there, the owner of that place. He had to get in. And Joe called him again, and Herman says, how you been all this? And my wife is sitting home picking it all up. Well, he says, I'll talk ahead and get somebody else to go pick him up. That worked out swell. Two guys came in then.
So it was pretty fast service?
Yeah, fast service. But I don't think there to this day that I had anything to do with it, and I don't care. As long as I got them in, whoever they were.
You were like sitting up on top of the world.
Yeah.
keeping tab on all the activities. Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing if you get in the habit of it. It's a wonderful thing.
How far away could you hear?
Oh, I hear over Notac, way over there, and all around out here.
Up in Canada, too?
Not in Canada, really.
But did you hear barrel radio?
No, I never listened. That I don't. It's the planes that I hear.
Yeah.
Planes talking back and forth, uh-huh. Calling in. That's what I hear.
But they were all crossing. When they would come in from Barrow, they would cross over,
mm-hmm.
Not far from you.
Yeah. I hear all around. They're flying around. Like on the Copac River, I hear them flying around in the air and all over. It's a wonderful thing. Get you point. I'm here. Then you know he's here. And
did you keep on
the
map?
Yeah, I've got on that beautiful map.
And you would just pinpoint.
Uh-huh. What's that map?
It got hard to just leave the house, didn't it? Sometimes.
Yeah.
It was always coming in.
Activities not to keep tabs on the void.
Oh, you knew all the old-time pilots.
Yeah. I'm the old-time pilot.
Oh, what about the time that Sig Ween came in and the girls climbed in the back of the plane and hitched a ride to Fairbanks?
They got in and what did they say to them? They're going to go and eat ice cream or something. So he took them in.
This was Florence and Mary.
Mary and Alice Tubbock.
And Alice Tubbock.
Uh-huh. And
three of them.
Three of them.
Had they ever been to Fairbanks before?
No, this is their first trip in there.
So how did they arrange this? They hid?
They hid somewhere.
In what kind of a plane did Sig have?
Ford.
A Ford Triumph?
Yeah, that's known. Sig was his mechanic. Noel was flying that.
Noel and Sig were
together. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how far out were they when they discovered them?
They were, I got quite a ways out. Quite a ways down. They asked, what are you doing? They're going to Fairbanks to eat ice cream anyway.
About what ages were the girls?
They were about the size. About that size.
About Tammy's age?
Yeah. 9, 10.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Weren't they scared?
I don't know.
When did you miss them?
When we missed them, and everybody ran at me and told me to take better care of the girls.
Were you worried when you realized you couldn't find them?
No.
Did you know what had happened then?
Yeah. I knew what had happened.
How long did they stay in Fairbanks?
Stayed about 5 days. Had a grand time.
Who took care of them?
Mrs. Miller, I think. Somebody there.
Annie Miller?
Mm-hmm. No. M.K. Miller, I think, took care of them.
Oh. And they had a good time.
Yeah.
Who brought them back?
Oh, I forgot who brought them back now. All piled out of there. they're the first stowaways in Alaska.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Did Noel radio back to Wiseman right away when he saw them in the plane? He didn't call in.
I don't think they called in on that ship at that time.
Oh, how did you find out then?
They were over there. They were over there then. We found out. It's a long time ago, you know.
Maybe it was on the Fairbanks radio.
Yeah, yeah. They hit the world, believe me. They hit all over the world. The stowaways on.
Oh, that's an airplane.
No. Later, my little son was about 5 years old, Ben Ulan, and he asked his dad if he could go on that airplane, and his dad told him, yes, he could go. He was in the plane when I found out, looked around. I drug him out, and then I got to talking with somebody. The plane was on the move, and there's my little son in there again. I don't know how he got back in, but he got back in, and he stayed over there five days and came back. That time he stayed with Tom Pearson, a fellow named Tom Pearson. And he had a grand time. Brought in a bunch of toys, and he was laying down on the floor asleep with his toys.
That was his first trip then.
Yeah, his little trip. Now, he was there first.